Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
We are finishing out a three-part series on this very special passage of Scripture. As I've mentioned in the last few weeks, these words in your Bible are the words of Christ himself, and they are words that he spoke to those that were close to him, not just to the masses, but to those that were really walking with him. And there's a special measure of intimacy revealed in these passages of Scripture. And so we've been on a series called the Abiding Series. We talked initially, the first message, and you'll see this in the text as we go to read it, that Jesus calls us to abide, and we can abide to be fruitful. And then he talked about abiding to be prayerful. And today, he rounds out this, if I could call it this way, today he rounds out this trinity of wholeness. You see, when we started this series, we started at the beginning of the year. And at the beginning of the year, many of us, we have aspirations as we look down the road and we're praying, God, let this be a good year, let this be a blessed year. Some people say, Lord, let this be a better year than last year. I heard a number of people say, I'm so glad last year was over. I need a fresh start. And how many hear lots of people say, oh boy, do I need a fresh start? And what I love about the Word of God is it gives us the real answers for the needs of our heart. And so in this passage of Scripture, we are getting this trinity of true wholeness, of true fulfillment. And he's teaching us that if we are fruitful and if we are prayerful, and then today you're going to see if we're joyful, our lives will really be complete. How many want to walk in a sense of wholeness in 2016? It's not in chasing the things of this world. It's not in chasing the things of this world. It's in abiding with him. And I've become so mindful of the fact that the enemy is such an amazing marketer. He's such an amazing marketer, and he's out there twisting the truth and so deceiving people and getting them to chase the wrong things. And I praise God for his word that is teaching us what to focus on today. And so I want to read the passage of Scripture very quickly. And then we'll give the title, which we should already know. The Bible says here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me. These are the verses we've been focusing on. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do, everyone, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. There is a progression of connection. Abide in me, and I in you. And now he says, abide in me, and my words. Let my words abide in you. In other words, let there be such a deep, deep intimacy between us that it comes to the point that my words really come into your heart. and they become part of who you are, so that my words are in your heart, and what you're longing for, what you're wishing for, is actually what the Father is wishing for, because his words are in your heart. And how many know when we start to wish for what the Father wishes, when we pray, how many know we get answers? We start to pray powerful prayers, because through this abiding, there's an aligning of our will. And when our will is aligned, then all of a sudden we're praying. He says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. But why? It's because that alignment takes the selfishness out and puts the will of God in. And when you're really dialed in to the will of God, all of a sudden you start to pray with incredible authority to the glory of the Father. Look at what it says here. Let's keep going now. It says, But by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And when you pray with that kind of authority, you testify that you belong to Christ and God gets the glory. How many want God to get the glory in 2016? Amen? Hallelujah. So now today, it goes even a step deeper. Okay? Today goes a step deeper. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Okay, here's the progression. Abide in me and I in you. Okay, abide in me and let my words abide in you. Now he even goes deeper, okay? And I want to suggest to you that this one, right, they're all important, but this is really, if I had to give the top priority to one of them, even though they're all very important, this is the most. Because you'll see in a moment, this one addresses our greatest need. Okay? And what he says is here, he says, abide in my love. Abide in my love. And he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Let's all read this together now. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be, that your joy may be full. And so the title of today's message is Abide to be Joyful. Abide to be Joyful. How many believe with me today that God wants everyone here to be full of joy? How many believe that today? It is the will of God that every single person here would be full of the joy of the Lord. You see, but that is in total contradiction to the fake joy that this world is offering. I've been noticing what a good marketer the enemy is. The enemy is always marketing and trying to convince people that if you have this thing, then you're going to have joy. If I get this promotion, if I have this guy or this girl, if I have this experience or that experience, if I have this much money in the bank, or if I have this house, and if I could just get this. How many know none of those things will satisfy our hearts? We need the joy that only Christ can offer. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, what we're going to do for the next few moments is we're going to pray. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to really teach us to abide in such a way that we could know the fullness of joy. God doesn't want this to be a year where you wither. God wants everyone here to know joy unspeakable and full of glory. God wants us to have a year where we're walking in the abundance of who he is, and what we have or what we don't have won't matter so much. Because when you're close to the Lord, he satisfies your soul. When you're not close to the Lord, nothing satisfies your soul. I was mentioning, you know, this past Friday I was invited to this event. It was a great honor to be able to, I was invited to pray the benediction at the Martin Luther King Memorial Service, and it's an interesting day. There were protesters and all kinds of stuff, and not that many, but there were some. And, you know, I was watching, I was kind of observing the whole operation, and, you know, the mayor was there and all sorts of dignitaries and people, and it's just interesting, cameras. It's interesting how people are just chasing stuff. And they want to be next to someone, or they want to be part of this crew, or they want to be identified or associated with these people or whatever, as if that really does anything for your heart. You know? And they're trying here and trying there, and how do we know that no one on earth can really satisfy our soul? You know? And how do you know you don't have to be a celebrity in this world, and yet in heaven you could be favored of God because your heavenly Father loves you? And that's better. That's better. And that's what Jesus is offering us today. Jesus is offering us something that's so much better than the shallow celebrity of this world. Than the shallow acknowledgement of this world. And I want to pray. I want to pray that God would give us the grace. I want you to know today's message is not an easy one. Today's message is, this is a spiritual word. Some messages are principles that we could apply. And yes, these are principles. But this is something that like the Bible says, let he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Okay, these are spiritual words and spiritual truths that we're talking about today, okay? And so I want to pray that God would help us to open our hearts and that he would give us ears to hear the Spirit. That means going beyond what Pastor Toledo is saying. It means hearing what the Spirit wants to say. How many want to hear what the Spirit wants to say? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for my precious brothers and sisters. Lord, just to be in this meeting, to see people reaching out to you and loving you, Father, it's such a blessing to me. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you have a body of believers, God, that love you. Oh God, and that you have a remnant. And there, right now, Lord, so many people on this planet, so many people in this city, They're calling curses on your name. They're using your name in vain. They don't even care. But Heavenly Father, we care. We want you to look down on this place and see that our hearts are hungry. And God, I ask that you would give us hungry hearts, give us ears to hear, deliver us from just having church. We want to meet with you, God. And so, Lord, help every heart to receive. And Lord, I pray that you would help my feeble lips, oh God. Give me grace, oh God, to say what you want said in the way that you want it to be said. So bless this word in our time together in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Praise be to the living God. Praise be his name. So here as we look at this passage of Scripture, the basic, the most prominent thing that this text is saying is that abiding in Christ's love is what leads to joy. Okay? So the main truth of today's message is that abiding in Christ's love leads to joy. In this passage, he's given us, if I could say it this way, a trinity of wholeness. Okay? A trinity of wholeness. If a person is abiding and God, and they're fruitful. And if a person is abiding in God, and they're prayerful. And if a person is abiding in God, and they're joyful as they abide in his love, then there's going to be a wholeness to your life. How many know our wholeness is found in Christ and Christ alone? So now let's look at this passage. Typically, we go in sequential order when we read the verses, but we're going to read the last verse or make the point from the last verse first because it is kind of like the broader point of the conclusion. And the first thing that this passage is saying to us is that joy is only found in Christ. Joy is only found in Christ. Look at what the Bible says here. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. Okay, it's not the joy of the world. It's not the joy, it's his joy. okay? These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Okay, if we're going to experience true joy, how many know that that true joy is the Lord's joy and he puts his joy in our hearts and that joy is what fills us? It's the joy of the Lord and it's the joy that only Christ could give. What is the definition of joy? Very quickly, the joy is a fruit of the Spirit that produces a profound sense of gladness, delight, and inner triumph. Let's say those three things together. Ready? A profound sense of gladness, delight, and inner triumph. What is this saying? This is saying that from your time with God, okay, regardless of your circumstances or my circumstances, we are able to walk around inside of our hearts with real gladness, with real delight. You know, a lot of times you meet believers and you don't see delight on their face. You see crabbiness, right? How do you know we're not supposed to be crabby people? We're supposed to be delighting in the Lord. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good. And look, gladness, delight, and inner triumph. That means victory from the inside out. A lot of people look like they have victory on the outside, but on the inside, they're defeated. But how many know true victory is from the inside out, and it comes from the joy that Christ put inside of us. Look at what John Phillips said. This is powerful. He said, joy is manufactured in heaven. It is God's monopoly. It's not like happiness, which depends very largely on what happens. The Lord's heart was full of joy, even when Gethsemane, a few hundred yards away. It was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame. Listen to this. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, second only to love. This joy he offers to us, joy resulting from obedience, flanked on one side by love and on the other side by peace. The Bible says that there are fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. And all of those things only come from God. God has a monopoly on those things. But those are the things that we need. You see, joy is what we need. We think we need A or B, but we don't need those things. What we need is joy from Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. A lot of times we say, you know what the problem is? My spouse is the problem. The reason that I don't have joy is because of my spouse. Or the reason I don't have joy is because of my family. Or the reason I don't have joy is because I'm out of work. And, you know, there are lots of things that bring difficulty. But brothers and sisters, there is a joy that cannot be snuffed out by outward circumstances. How many know when Christ in us, the hope of glory, is flowing, there's joy unspeakable. And nothing can stop that. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. But you see, it's so difficult oftentimes to convince people to look to God for joy instead of other things or other people. Why do people go for the bottle? Why do they go for this? Why do they go for that? What are they looking for? They're looking for joy, but that joy is only found in Jesus. Only in the Lord can we find true joy. Now, since joy is only found in Christ, Jesus begins to unfold how that joy comes into our being. So here's what he says as he breaks down this principle of really getting the joy of the Lord and being a joyful Christian. The second thing that he says is that joy comes from abiding in Christ's love. Joy comes from abiding in Christ's love. And I want you to look at this now in the verse, because this is a very, very powerful thing. This is very interesting. You got to really look at this verse. This is deep. Look, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Okay? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Now we need to pause here and really look at what this is saying. What this is saying is that the same love that the perfect Heavenly Father shares with the perfect Son of God, okay? And they had this love before anything was ever created, because even in eternity past, there was perfect love in the Godhead. The Godhead is three in one. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How many believe that? There is a great Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And before anything was even created, there was perfect love between them. And here is what he's saying to us, and here is what he's offering to us. He's saying that kind of perfect love that the Father and I have, you can have. I want to offer that love to you, which in my mind doesn't make sense, because they're perfect. So since they're perfect, of course they can share perfect love. But me, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm ugly. I have bad thoughts. And I have ugly motives and all kinds of craziness. You know, I've done craziness, and all kinds of craziness runs through my mind and my heart. How many would say amen to that? Come on, tell the truth and shame the devil for a second here. The heart is desperately wicked. So how could we, being wicked and sinful, experience that kind of love? I was like, I don't get this. Look at how Andrew Murray tried to put it for us. He said, the love of the Father to the Son is not a sentiment. It is a divine life, an infinite energy, an irresistible power. It carried Christ through life and death and the grave. The Father loved him and dwelt in him and did all for him. So the love of Christ to us is an infinite living power that will work in us all he delights to give us. Now look at this. The feebleness of our Christian life is that we do not take time to believe. Listen to me. We do not take time to believe that this divine love does really delight in us. His love really does delight in us. I don't get it, but it does. It says, and will possess and work all in us. We strive to do for ourselves what Christ alone can, what Christ, oh, so lovingly longs to do for us. Wow. When I read a quote like this, I'm like, Lord, I think it can take me 30 years to get this truth into my heart. And you know, as I was meditating on this, listen, this is the issue, okay? Everyone say, this is the issue. I'm telling you right now, this is the issue. This is the issue why young women chase guys to the left and to the right and give themselves away. This is the issue why guys are chasing after all sorts of crazy things, longing for some deep, profound need to be met that only the Father's love can meet. This is why, even in our city, right, as we prayed, I had the privilege of praying for our city, right? Do you know why so many people are angry? They're angry because they don't know a Father's love. Families are broken and men don't know how to be fathers, and it's like a generational. The enemy has attacked families. Why? To break to shatter the Father's love so that we don't even have a clue about the Father's love. In adults, I've sat down over the years, talked to a 40-year-old man. You start talking to him about his father, he starts crying. Because we need the Father's love so much. Now, let me just talk about this for a minute. Okay? So, one of the ways to kind of get a clue about this actually is if you do have a good relationship, you happen to be one of those fortunate people, okay, to say, man, I have a good relationship with my dad and it was healthy. It becomes easier for those people, in many cases, to relate to the Heavenly Father. Okay, it's not the only way. No, we'll get to that in a second. But it does give you an inkling. Here's another way I think from an earthly perspective, right? In the same way I tried to in the first service, what does abide mean? It's a mysterious oneness, right? In the first message in this series. Well, now, when you contemplate the Father's love, right, I think another good earthly example is actually when you become a parent. Because when you become a parent, like everything changes, your whole world changes when you become a parent. You know, you could have lived for yourself your whole life and then you become a parent and that child just takes over everything. You know? And I mean, every waking moment of your life, you're thinking about them. And here's the crazy thing. Even when they're adults, they can be adults, they can have jobs, they can do whatever. But you know what? When you think about them, they're still just your kids. They're just your babies. You know? Right? How many parents would say amen? Amen. You just can't help it. You know, it's an incredible thing. What is amazing about this concept, right, is that speaking from an earthly perspective, look, you're one of your children or your children, they can make you incredibly frustrated. They can make you incredibly angry. You know, they can disappoint you. They can drive you batty. They can make you want to scream till your head blows up. This morning I was talking about this, and one father said, "Hello." I was like, "Hello is right." Right? And yet, no matter where they can take you, okay, if in that same instance you even think for a second that they're in danger, right? You would run. You would push them out of the way. You would say, run me over 10 times. You know, hurt me 10 times. I don't care what happens to me. That's my baby. I love them. I will give my life 1,000 times for them. How many know what I'm talking about? 1,000 times I'll give my life for them. You know, I've been sharing this all day. And sometimes we talk about, that was the worst day of my life. Okay? So, you know what? The worst day of my life, and I pray that it doesn't get worse than this. Okay, the worst day of my life that I could remember so far, and I've had my share of doozies, but the worst day was when Annie was about 16 or 18 months old. Annie got a fever, and she was blazing hot. So she was probably a little older than that because Tommy was already born. So maybe she was closer to 2. But anyway, it was like 3 in the morning. We couldn't get her fever down. And I had to take Annie to the hospital by myself. Chrissy stayed home with the kids and I took Annie. And when I got to the hospital, she was so hot. She was like 104 fever, 103, 104. And they immediately took blood. And when they checked her blood, her white blood cell count shot up to 50,000. Now, when you get a fever, I think it goes like to 7,000 or I forget the numbers, 8,000, 10,000. And that's because your blood is fighting some infection. Hers jumped to 50,000. And the doctor said, her body is fighting so strong, there's something serious. And so in 15 minutes, they did a spinal tap. They stuck things in her nose. They did all kinds of things to my little baby. And she was looking at me screaming, going, "Daddy, Daddy." And when she was screaming, they're doing all these things. And I'm powerless. I'm standing there. I'm bawling. It is the worst moment of my life. She was so upset. I was so upset that the doctor closed the curtain. I went into a room and I just started to cry out to God. I closed the door. I don't even know where I was in the hospital, but I'm on my knees crying out to God, saying, "God, whatever's going to fall on her, let it fall on me. God, please deliver my baby. Deliver my baby." And I was just bawling in the hospital. Horrible. It's horrible. It was a nightmare. Praise God, it passed. But can I tell you something? Can I tell you? And I can't get my head around this, all right? But that intense, like I can't even put it into words. But the intensity of that moment is only a drop compared to the love that the Heavenly Father has for you and I. You take that human intensity and multiply it by 10 billion trillion gazillion. That's the kind of love that the Heavenly Father has for you. How do I know that? You know how I know that? Because that's the way I felt for my baby. And you know what he did? He sent his own baby to the cross to pay for the price for our sin. That was his baby. That was his son. And so that we could be delivered, so that we could have joy, so that we could have peace, so that we could be healed. Hallelujah. He sent his own son to die for us. If you've ever doubted the love of the Father, think about what he did. Think about what he did. He sent his own son. None of us would do that, but that's what he did. You know why he did it? He did it for us. How many are thankful? Could we praise God for his love and his kindness to us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. A love that we don't even understand. You see, what we have to understand is that Christ's love is the Father's love. His love is the Father's love. And here's the thing, guys, okay? Here's the thing. We'll be closing soon here, but this is the key. The key is that he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Then he says, abide in my love. Now, abide means to remain. Okay, it means to be connected. It means intimacy. And so this year, okay, this year, Jesus died and he rose from the dead in power so that we would have access to the Father's love. And what we need to learn this year is we need to learn to abide in the Father's love. You see, a lot of people think, you know what, I'm so depressed, I need more medication. I'm so angry, I need to be alone. I'm so this, I'm so that, I'm so this, I'm so that, that I have to do this and that I have to do that. You see? But what we don't understand is Jesus died for us to have the victory in all of those areas. By his stripes we are healed. But here it is. How do we get that healing? It's by abiding. It's by abiding. It's by spending time. It's by spending time with him to the point that his love starts to drive out our fear. It's by spending time with him to the point that his love starts to drive out our hurt and our anger. How many know the love of the Father is able to erase those things inside of us? The love of the Father is able to remove and uproot the ill effects of trauma in your life and mine. Can a man help you? Can a pastor help you? In many cases, there's nothing we can do. But how many know nothing is too hard for God? When he defeated the grave, he defeated everything. Hallelujah. And so, listen. I watch many times the way you worship, okay? You know what worship tells you? It tells you how comfortable you are in the presence of the Father. Did you come here today to hear a choir? Or did you come here to experience the love of your Heavenly Father? When you start coming to church, when you start opening your Bible, when you start getting up in the morning to experience the love of your heavenly, everyone say heavenly, of your Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father's love will cancel out your earthly father's failure. Your Heavenly Father's love will cancel out the wickedness and abuse and the trauma of this life. How many know he is able? Hallelujah. He can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. His love won't let you down. His love will heal us and free us. A lot of times, people, listen, I want to encourage you, okay, stop squirming in the presence of God. Stop squirming. Learn how to worship God. Learn how to love God. Learn how to make time for God to reach you and connect you. Why do you think worship is so important? It's because worship is spiritual intercourse with the Spirit of God. That's what it is. It's deep connection. Deep calls unto deep. And so it's possible. This is the way He made it. Okay, no matter how twisted and crooked and broken we are, we say, Heavenly Father, love my heart, God. Love my heart, God, because my heart is not right, Lord. Help me, Lord. And I'm telling you, anyone that will just dwell, if the singers could come, anyone that would just abide in the Father's love, all of a sudden, healing takes place and joy begins to explode in your life. Today I got a text. I got a text from someone who I met the first year that we were here at this church. And it was a young man full of rage, anger. You know why? Because he was terribly abused as a child. He was led down by pastors. He was taken advantage of by people in the church, outside of the church. His whole life was horrible. Okay? I mean, it couldn't get worse than this. And so guess what? He hated authority. He was angry with everyone. And he lived always chasing things that were absolutely self-destructive. So what do you do with that? How do you change that? So coming to church but leaving angry. And then something happened. Something happened. By the way, guys, can I just, I haven't said this in any of the meetings, but look, if there's someone in your life that is really on a bad track, okay, let me give you a piece of advice. Don't give up. Because even though your arm is short, how many know the arm of Jesus is never too short to reach someone? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't give up. Keep praying for the love of God to reach them. And I mean, sure enough, there's a miracle has taken place in this brother's life. And today, after having his mind twisted and living in the homosexual lifestyle, today he's married and he's doing great. And when I talk to him, it's like I'm talking to a man of God, and we're talking about man things, about marriage and all. And I'm just blown away. And I'm like, what happened? He said, you know what? I stopped running. He said, I stopped running. I got tired of being angry. I got tired of pointing fingers, and I got tired of lashing out at everyone. And you know what I learned? I learned that every time I run, I just keep crashing into myself. And so I just started to open up my heart to my Heavenly Father. And you know what? He started to heal me. How many know the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Could we praise God for His power? Hallelujah. Listen, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. Doesn't matter what you have in the building. Doesn't matter what your trauma history is. It doesn't matter. God is able to lift those things. He can erase the scars. People do plastic surgery to remove physical scars, okay? But the Holy Spirit is able to do a kind of surgery that removes the inner scars. That's what He wants to do by His mighty power. That's what he's offering. Just abide with me. That's what He's offering. And when you start to receive that love, listen, when you start to receive that love, you stop blaming people. You just start walking in the freedom of Christ. And here's the last thing, and we'll say this, and then we're going to close. The last thing that this passage teaches us, which is really powerful and very important for us to understand Christianity, okay, is this, is that joy is the deep overflow of obedience. Joy is the deep overflow of obedience. Now, why do we say that? Look at this verse here. Jesus said, if you keep my commands, you will abide in my love. Watch. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so why did Jesus obey the Father? You know why Jesus obeyed the Father? He obeyed the Father because he loved him. You see, a lot of people don't even like coming to church, or a lot of people are kind of turned off by Christianity because they see Christianity as a bunch of rules. You see, but it's not rules and regulations. That's not the way it is. It's falling in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with him, all of a sudden when he tells you, like a good father, like any good father says, that's not good for you, you say, okay, Dad. You don't want that for me, Dad? That's okay. You know why? Because I'd rather have this relationship with you than that cheap thrill. God, I'll take you every day, all the time. Hallelujah. I want you, Jesus. How many want that closeness with Jesus? Hallelujah. And so all of a sudden, this incredible change starts to take place in your life, that you start obeying God, but you're not obeying God because you think he's going to hit you on the head give you a whack. You obey him because you love him. Because you love him. When you love the Father fills your heart with joy. When you love the Father fills your heart with joy. Listen, know the Father's love. Last thing I'll say, know true joy. You just take the time in this year to know the Father's love, okay? Listen, this is the most important counseling session you've ever had, okay? All Jesus is saying is just spend time with me. That's it. Just spend time with me and watch all the things that I'm going to do in you. Watch all the things that I'm actually going to do through you. God wants to make 2016 such an amazing year for all of us. But you know how it's going to come? It's going to come by us simply abiding with him. Come on, let's lift our hands to him, everyone in the building. God wants to take us deeper. It's not that you don't love God, but God wants to take your walk deeper with him. Some people here, they need to learn how to abide in his love. And what we want to do is open the altar today, because maybe you're stuck in discouragement. Maybe you're stuck in defeat. Maybe things are clouding your mind and blame is overwhelming you. And maybe you've been let down by an earthly father or earthly authorities. People have let you down. And because you've let down, there's an overwhelming sense of hurt and confusion. But today God is saying, come to your heavenly Father, because I want to begin to do something new in your life. And I want to invite you to the altar today. If you're here and you just want a breakthrough in your walk with God, you want 2016 to be a year of bearing fruit. You want it to be a year of praying powerful prayers. And more than anything, you want to walk in the satisfaction that comes from heaven. You're tired of looking to man. You're tired of looking to the left and to the right. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we want to pray for freedom right now. I just perceive that we need to pray for inner healing today. People have been disappointed and hurt and traumatized. And I want to pray for deep inner healing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If you're up front, reach out your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. And if you're in the pew, stretch out your hands. Hallelujah. Come on, let's begin to pray. Raise your voice. Ask the Lord. God is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here to heal. Hallelujah. To transform, to touch, to release, to break strongholds. We want the Lord to break the stronghold right now. strongholds of hurt and abuse and anger. Hallelujah. Heal, heal. Marriages are going to be healed right now. Hallelujah. Young men who've been abused, their hearts are going to be healed right now. We believe you, God. We believe you. We believe you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father, today we come to you with outstretched hands and with open hearts, oh God. Lord, asking for you to do an inner work, oh God, that you, oh God, would reach down to that deep place, oh God, that only you can access. We pray, oh God, Lord, that the things of the past, oh God, will be uprooted and released, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. God, that by abiding in your love, oh God, we would experience your joy. That by abiding in your love, we would experience your peace, oh God. The peace that surpasses knowledge, Lord Jesus. God, would you guard every heart? Would you guard every mind in this place, oh God? Lord, we lift up your people to you today, oh God. You said you are near to the brokenhearted, oh God. Lord, and that you are able to heal those broken hearts and bind their wounds, oh God. So would you do that today, Lord? God, you are the great physician. You are the wonderful counselor, oh God. And we pray, oh God, that you administer to every heart, oh God, as only you know how, oh God. Speak to those things, oh God, that are unspoken, oh God. Lord, you know all things, oh God. And we pray that you administer to every heart here today, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. Speak tenderly to us, oh God. We pray, oh God, that your kindness would draw us closer to you, oh God, and that in coming closer to you, oh God, we would lay aside every weight and the sin that entangles in pursuit of your presence, in pursuit of your glory, in pursuit of healing, in pursuit of wholeness, oh God. Lord, let it be so of your people today, oh God. Let it be a reign of freedom in this place, oh God. We pray that you would release, oh God, healing, oh God, over your people today in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord, your word declares that you lavish us with your love, oh God. Your love is unending, oh God. You never run out of it, oh God. So we pray in Jesus' name that you would pour out your love afresh in this place, oh God. That you would fill, oh God, every heart to overflowing, oh God. That we would be able to give you yes. All the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this day. And God, we thank you, Lord, for this time of refreshing in your presence. Now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that the Lord, your joy would fill every house that's represented. I pray that love, joy, and peace would blanket every home represented. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would just grow in our abiding with you. And that, Lord, this year would be a year where we so walk closely with you and connected with you, God. That, Lord, when the enemy offers the cheap substitutes, Lord, we will gladly say no thank you. No thank you to the things that do not satisfy. So bless your people now. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength. Thank you for what you've begun, and thank you for how you're going to bless this coming year. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, let's praise him one more time.